order. And present, Representative Johnson, Majority Leader Ralph Samuels, Minority Leader sitting side by side, Beth Petula.
Getting along as
the university crowd here, David Guttenberg, and the man in command of the whole house, the Speaker of the House, and the Rules Chairman, John Collier.
Still looking around for that person.
And I think Anna's in the building, will be joining us. Today we have before us scheduled House Bill 305, and the sponsor before us, Representative Kevin Meyer. So, Kevin, why don't you go ahead and introduce what you got and tell us what you want to do.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and members of the Rules Committee. I know those of you who are on State Affairs have heard this, so I'll be relatively brief. It's pretty self-explanatory. We introduced House Bill 305 so that we could separate any fundraising activities from our legislative duties. As most of you know, it's already prohibited to raise monies if you're running for a state office while we're in session. And frankly, I didn't know that you could, though, raise monies if you're running like in Anchorage next year. We have a mayor's election, so I could essentially start raising money now or certainly next session for the local race, or actually for a federal race. I didn't know that you could raise money if you're running for a federal office. So with this, you know, to me, it's just common sense. I mean, we made it prohibited raising money because we didn't think it was right to be having people come in our office and handing us a check while we're in session voting on whatever we're voting on. So that same logic would apply for whatever office you're running for, whether it be for local or federal office. So that's all this bill does, is just extend our current law to now also include local and federal office. And it may appear to be repetitive because it affects two different sections. It includes the ethics section as well as the elections law, or the APOC section. Mr. Chairman, in a nutshell, that's what this bill does.
The reason I decided to go ahead and have a Rules Committee hearing on this is on two accounts. There was a possible amendment, which we'll have before us, and then there was a discussion on the federal issue. And the sponsor has indicated to me that he thinks it's worthy of a challenge to keep the federal in there. And so I think those of us who are on the State Affairs Committee might want to hear some of his rationale on that. And then we have the K version before us. So, maybe Reneva, did we have an amendment distributed to all members of the committee? Okay. So every member has a copy of the amendment that may be proposed. And so
bring the K version up for adoption?
Correct. We don't have to have it adopted. It's before us. So Representative Petula has a question.
Oh, I just have another amendment that the sponsor agrees to. We hope to have it in writing, but if not, it's pretty easy to make conceptually.
So. Okay. So the first off, I think, why don't you go ahead and defend your reasoning for the federal issue, because that was the reason it came here to begin with, and I'd appreciate that, because there was a legal opinion. And before we get that, I guess Representative Samuels to chime in on that.
Thank you. I just wanted to clarify, in the K version, the version we have before us, if you're running for a federal office that's included, you'd prohibit any fundraising anywhere, and if you're running for a local office. So if Representative Johnson wanted to run for mayor of Anchorage in April, he could raise money or could not raise money under your legislation, under the one that's before us right now.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Petula? you guys are playing games with us. Representative Samuels. Under the version in front of us now, you would not be able to raise money for local or federal or state office. Currently, you can't do it for state, but this would include federal and local.
Mr. Chairman and Representative Samuels, through the chair, for the record, my name is Mike Pulowski. I'm an aide for Representative Meyer. I think if you look on page 3, you still get into the exception within 90 days of the election. So as long as you're working on it for yourself, within 90 days of the election, you're allowed to raise money. However, there was an amendment sponsored by Representative Johnson in the previous committee that applied to raising money for other candidates on behalf of other candidates, and that applies without the 90-day exception in there. So as long as you're raising money for yourself within 90 days, you're all right. If you're raising money for someone else, the 90-day exception does not apply.
Just make sure I'm clear. The Anchorage elections are sometime in April.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So backing that up, if I decided to run for mayor this April, which I am not going to do, clarify that right off the bat.
Yeah, you could.
I could now raise money. Once the 90-day clock started, or if there was a federal election in August or November, I could raise money even if we were in a special session. As long as 90 days before, I can. It's the gloves are off.
Through the chair, Representative Samuels, that is correct. I'd forgot that we do have that provision in there. If it's 90 days before the election, then you can raise money, yes.
And I hear a whisper over here, just to clarify one other thing, is if you're in the capital city, so if the minority leader wanted to run for mayor of Juneau, she could not. The 90-day exception doesn't help you.
Right.
Okay, thank you.
It would be the current capital.
The current.
You can fix that problem.
Not today.
Thank you. I just want to know the lay of the land here.
All right. Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I also want to clarify, I think that not only can you not raise funds for an individual, but for a ballot proposition. So it's not just the individual, but during that time, you can't raise money for a ballot proposition either, using your legislative name to raise funds.
That's correct.
And so without other questions, why don't you go ahead and you have.
No,
I just thought I'd bring up the amendment, which is labeled K1, have the. I will go ahead and move this as amendment number one.
I'll object for discussion.
And we have objections, and then I'm going to ask the sponsor to speak to this amendment. This talks about some renumbering, but it has title change, deletion, and a couple of section changes. So, Representative Meyer.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to ask my staff to walk us through the amendment, with your permission.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, again, my name is Mike Pulowski, and I'm an aide for Representative Meyer. This amendment, I believe, was prepared by your office. However, as I understand it, the title change is, it really came out of in-state affairs. One of the amendments created a lot of redundancy in the way the bill was drafted that needed to be cleared up. And so what you see is the deletion of the distinction by a candidate for election to the legislature, a legislator, or a legislative employee being stricken from the title because it's basically redundant given the way that the further sections are drafted. As I understood it, that was the reason for the title change amendment. The repeal and reenacted, there was a lot of concern that in the state affairs version, the subsection D, which you find in section 1, which applies to a legislator or legislative employee, was conflicting with sub J, which you found in section 2, which only applied to a legislator. And it didn't make much sense, particularly since J is in a different subsection of the fundraising statute than D is, and I believe D is in the solicitation and J is in the expenditure section. It made sense to renumber it as D and make the prohibition blanket and include a legislative employee there as well to maintain with the.
And just for the members' use, I had Reneva actually penciled in those changes in on page 2, where you see or legislative employee put in, and the contribution is for that legislator or legislative employee's campaign. So what we did effectively is collapse that one statute, which was in a different place, and put it, which properly, I think, belongs here. So just for what it's worth.
Precisely, Mr. Chairman.
And renumbering. So.
And if I might, Mr. Chairman, the change on line 17, that the contribution is for that legislator or legislative employee's campaign, was important because if you left it as just it is an election in which the legislator is a candidate, I could be a candidate within a given election, and since it's amorphous, so then I could actually raise money for someone else just because I'm within that same election. You wanted to limit it and make it specifically for that particular office. rather than leaving it open. So that was an important tightening of the language there. And I believe that was the substantial changes in the amendment.
That's the substance of, yes. That's good. Questions? Representative Guttenberg?
Yeah, there's a couple of things in here I'm a little troubled by. And it's the, your willingness to challenge the federal restrictions on federal office, you know.
Well, let's go ahead and dispose of this amendment, and okay. Then we can get to right. Talk about that. Is there any further discussion on this amendment, Representative Sanders?
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify, but in my various examples here, you're cleaning up to get to where you wanted to be. Mm-hmm. So the philosophy of it's not going to change. I still couldn't do the things I couldn't do, as I asked the question before, and still could do the things I could do. Okay.
And I'm gonna rely on my capable staff too, because it was a catch that came through as we were reviewing the bill. So. Is there any further objection that maintained on the amendment?
I'll remove my objection, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. With that, we'll call amendment number one passed. And Representative Guttenberg, you had further discussion on the municipal, state, or federal portion?
Yeah, that section. On one hand, we're saying that we're going to insert federal office restrictions into federal office, and we want to challenge that and be that what it may. We're telling the feds we don't want them involved in our business, but four words back, we're inserting ourselves into municipal elections. And in some ways, for me, it's about a level playing field. If you are, let's just take a special session down here, and remember, only Anchorage has its elections in April. The rest of the state has its municipal elections in October. So if you're running we're having a special session in Anchorage or here, wherever, but and you're running for office at a race in some town, Fairbanks or Delta or Tanana or someplace, and you're an employee of the legislature, you don't have the same advantages that an incumbent has. And we do the same thing with the federal races. You're creating a challenger has such a uphill climb in an election against an incumbent that you're creating further restrictions on that process, both for somebody in this body for federal office and an employee against an incumbent in a municipal election. I mean, for me, a lot of this, what we should be doing is trying to deal with the ethical issues, but also on elections, balance the playing field. And it looks like that we're not getting there with this. That's a concern I have.
Representative Meyer.
Yep. Mr. Chairman, Representative Guttenberg, well, you hit on two points, sir. First of all, is the ethics portion of this, and I think that's the most important, is that we need, we just need to keep the money out of the capital city while we're in session. Now, obviously, in the example that you gave, if we are in special session during the summer, you can raise money 90 days before the election. So so they would still be able to raise money. I guess I don't see this as, we're telling the municipalities how to run their elections. We're telling ourselves what we can and can't do as it pertains to raising money. And I think that's important. I mean, we already had this law in place as it pertains to us and our elections, and now we're just saying we want to expand that to all elections. I understand your concern about if you're a legislative employee and you need to raise money, but I just believe that it's critical that we keep the money away from our business here. And as far as the federal, I think that was your other question. Was that there is some concern that that we don't have the jurisdiction to limit someone from raising monies for a federal office. In fact, a couple states have challenged that, and they have won. But on the other hand, there's at least three states that we know that have a law similar to ours. And I guess what we're thinking is that this is important enough that you know, if somebody wants to challenge it and if they win, then we'll remove it. But until then, I think we should leave it like it is.
Thank you. Well, just imagine that Nick Begich is the congressman for the past 35 years or 40 years. Mike Gravel is the senator, and Glenn Old is a senator. Would you want to tell these two that they couldn't raise money against such a strong incumbent? I mean, I think it's as incumbents that know more about a level playing field than anybody else. I realize that there's a kind of an ethical conflict, but I think there's a larger purpose out there is to level the playing field. And certainly for federal races where they, you know, if they average out what they have to raise a day, it's like $10,000 a day in order to be just competitive. I think that's an issue that is taking that out of the game. So I'm concerned about that.
Ralph had a comment, and then John.
Thank you. The flip side of that is you can resign. You can resign your seat here. And if somebody was going to give you money when you had this seat, and they were not going to give you money when you didn't have this seat, you really have to ask the question, why were they giving you the money? And I understand you're elected for a two-year term, and you hate to walk away halfway through, but there's a little bit of have your cake and eat it too.
John,
sure. Harris? I want to echo what, because we've said this argument before. The other part about an incumbent, incumbency carries with it both the good points and the bad points. You know, if a person has been in an office, as you said, for a long period of time, obviously people have felt comfortable with that person, no matter who they are, Democrat, Republican, Independent, whatever they may be, and they're not objectionable to the job they're doing. The reason why somebody runs against an incumbent is not only to challenge them, but they might figure like either they could do a better job, and or the public's not happy with the job the incumbent's doing. And usually incumbents win not because they have the power of the incumbency necessarily, but people are not totally dissatisfied with the job they're doing. And so anytime you challenge an incumbent, you better calculate whether or not people think that they're doing a bad job. I have to echo what Ralph just said is if you are a sitting legislator and you decide you want to run against a person in another office someplace, a higher office, a different office, whatever it happens to be, you have to calculate whether or not you think you can beat that person based upon the job they're doing, not based upon the job you're doing in that other office. And that's where you get the conflict. And that's why, first of all, they don't allow us to raise money during session, but our challengers can raise money all the time. They can raise money while we're in session, while we're out of session, anytime, year round, they can raise money as long as they file. And somebody who might file against me at this point in time can raise money the entire session. Yeah, they can't raise money in Juneau. They can raise money everywhere else, and I can't. I don't argue about that because I understand that's perfectly legitimate. I shouldn't be able to raise money, neither should any of us, simply because while we're in session making decisions, it's too easy. We've seen it happen. It's too easy to be influenced. But the people that are running against us out there aren't influenced at all because they can't make any decisions. They have no power until they're elected or not elected, whatever it happens to be. And that's why you do this, and that's why you say, look, if you want to run, if I, for instance, want to run for U.S. Congress, which has been thrown around a lot, right, I have already said, and I believe anybody else should do this as well, resign from your seat and run. Don't use the power of the seat that you're supposed to be spending your time doing to raise money, because that's basically what you're doing. You're taking you don't know that people aren't giving you money for the seat you're holding. You don't know that people aren't giving me money because I happen to sit in the seat I am. If I was no longer in power, I gave up my seat. I said, I'm no longer the Speaker of the House. I have no power. I can't make any decisions. I want to go out and run for this other seat. People would give me money then based upon the fact they either liked me, thought I could do a better job than the person that was in there, or whatever. But it wouldn't be because I hold the seat I do. That's why I think this bill is important. And I think it's very important that we take it, that it go all the way to the Supreme Court if it had to.
There was one other person that wanted to make a possible amendment, and so I guess it's time I should recognize Representative Katula. There's a small issue she has.
Small issue. I've discussed it with the sponsor, and he's agreed to accept the amendment, and I apologize to the members. We did call to get the amendment in writing, and unfortunately it just hasn't arrived, but I can let you know what it is quickly. Right at the moment, the language in the bill reads for an exception to happen within 90 days if you're having a session.
Mr. Chairman.
What page?
I'm sorry. I'm going to have to explain it to you conceptually first, and I can give you the page number. Let me give it to you. In, on page 2, line 21 is the first one, and I can give you the other ones. But if you'll notice, it reads, capital city or a location in which the legislature is convened in a regular or special session if the location is other than a capital city. Currently under law, we're not allowed to have a regular session other than in the capital city. And the sponsor has legislation, but that's still pending. So it's sort of the cart before the horse to include this language that says regular or. So the amendment is to remove the words regular or, and I can tell you the other places where that occurs. And it is with the concurrence of the maker of the bill.
Let's just double check that.
I'll object for a clarification here.
Mr. Chairman, it came back from the drafters that way. We weren't trying to imply our another law might or another bill might pass by any means.
Or an amendment to this.
Okay. Well, the words regular or. How many places?
I can give you the lines, and I've got them.
Why don't you go ahead and go down through those real quick.
Here's the words, where the words regular or appear. It's page 2, line 21, then again on line 29, page 3, line 9, and line 26, page 4, line 6, and line 13, and the amendment is to remove the words regular or. There are other references where the words regular or are used, but they're properly used. It's these where there's a confusion about it.
Okay. Let's see. Representative Johnson and Representative Samuels.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm curious, let's go way out on the limb, and the other bill that is not before us passes. Are we going to be in a situation then when the city that we are holding the regular session in, which may or may not be Juneau, would we then be in a situation where you could, in fact, raise funds?
I can answer that. Sponsor and then me.
Representative Petula?
As a maker of the amendment, if such a piece of legislation should unfortunately ever pass, we can certainly amend that piece of legislation and include this in it so that it would properly be before us. I mean, if you do it here, you're actually, in my opinion, violating the rules of statutory construction with a meaningless section.
Representative Samuels?
I had the same question. If you didn't go back and change this, is there a loophole where somebody's going to raise money where the spirit of the bill is you don't want them to do an activity in a town during a time frame? It doesn't hurt to leave it in there.
I'm going to give that back to me.
Representative sponsor? Questions, answers? I know you're feeling because of the bill you have, Representative Meyer, so what's your thinking on this amendment?
Mr. Chairman, I know where the sponsor of the amendment wants to go with this, and I'm okay with that. But now that I've heard the other, the opposing view, I'm not sure what to think. I'm not sure the amendment is necessary. I guess I'd like to hear more compelling reasoning from the sponsor of the amendment.
Well, through the chair.
Can I give her more compelling time?
You want to give me more compelling time? You know, there's two reasons, of course, one of which is this, you know, this isn't a capital move or a legislative move bill. And you really don't want to raise that issue in this bill. This is an ethics bill, and it's really is almost a complete different topic. The second thing is, as a rule of statutory construction, you don't want to have a meaningless section in a bill. It confuses the statutes, it's a red herring, and it results in all kinds of improper things in drafting. So, you know, if you've got that other bill going, it can certainly be added in there and be part and parcel of that. I stand with you. You shouldn't be having fundraising in a session, and you sure shouldn't have it in the capital city. But I think that the other issue needs to happen first if you're going to change this one. So,
Mr. Chairman, I was just speaking to my staff here, and in the other bill, and I know we shouldn't talk about other bills when we have this bill in front of us, but we do address that issue in the other bill. So,
it's already covered.
So the amendment, as far as we're concerned,
it's been alluded to. Yes,
okay.
Representative
I'm
Johnson.
Sorry. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm hesitant to remove this because I want to be perfectly clear that it is, as far as this legislator is concerned, to raise money during session anywhere steps across the lines. And I don't want to leave a potential loophole or a potential area where someone could say, well, did they really mean? I want to be very clear that the intention of this is to crystal clear, bright line, all the words we use when we talk about ethics, that it is not appropriate to raise money while we're in session in the city in which we are holding a session, whether that's Anchorage, Fairbanks, Valdez. I think I've covered them all. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Just for the members.
They only want a gas line. They don't want
just for the members' information, we have amendment number 2 drafted before us. It's the K4. So while Representative Cartula is perusing that real quickly, I'm going to side with the maker of the amendment in that we have already rules in place that say where a regular session is going to be held. I will err on that side, and then if there's other issues going through the legislature that we'll talk about where we might hold a regular session, I might have another opinion that the maker of this amendment may not agree with.
No, but if it happened. No, if it happened.
But in this particular case, I intend to support it in this amendment. I think it's appropriate cleanup language. I don't see a loophole in there because of the way our laws are written. So, any further discussion? Shall we call for the vote?
I would like to maintain objection.
I figured we might want to call for a vote.
Can we do this conceptually, because I'm not sure this is correct?
Through the chair, I think it is correct, but maybe we should do it just to be positive. It includes lines that the other amendment, would have to be cleaned up. So
well,
I think you're right.
I will keep it as a conceptual amendment, and then before we get to the floor, I will have it looked over by both the sponsor and the maker of this amendment.
Thank you.
Okay, then let's go ahead and have a roll call vote. Please call the roll.
Representative Fairclough?
No.
Representative Johnson?
No.
Representative Samuels?
Yes.
Representative Cartula?
Yes.
Representative Guttenberg?
Yes.
Representative Harris?
Yes.
Chair Coghill?
Yes.
5-2.
Well, you're gaining ground here. So that amendment number 2 passes, conceptual amendment number 2. That brings us to the bill. Any further discussion? Representative Samuels?
Thank you. I haven't heard any of the discussion on this bill at all. So the senators down the hall, for us to resign our seat when it got close to an election, you'd miss a couple months of what you got elected to do. For a senator, you'd give up, in midterm, you'd give up half of your term to do that. I mean, if you can't raise money until April 15th, does it affect the governor? If the executive branch can do it all? Or are we just sticking to?
Yeah, Representative Samuels through the chair. No, we just stuck with our level, not the executive branch.
Okay. Okay. Thanks.
So what's the will of the committee? We keep in committee for a couple more years?
Chairman, I'd make a motion.
Sure, I'd move that we move the CS for House Bill 305 as amended with individual recommendations and fiscal notes.
Zero.
Any objection? Hearing no objection, then we'll move House Bill CS for House Bill 305 State Affairs out of committee as amended with individual recommendations and attached zero fiscal notes. And I'm not going to give you an opportunity for any other business. We are adjourned.
Monkey business. It's the Rules Committee.
What else can we take up?